Stand up, please. Praise God. Amen. Why don't you try praise God? Come on, praise God. Praise God. I told some friends a story I heard the other day. Little kid, you know, little kid was home with his mom, and he took those little magnetic letters off the refrigerator, and he goes up to his mom, and he said, "Mom, look, G-O-D. And she went, "Oh, that is beautiful." She kissed him on the head. She hugged him. She says, "Now go back, go in the other room, and put them back on the refrigerator so your dad will see them when he gets home." So he goes, and all of a sudden, she hears his voice screaming in from the other room, "Mom, how do you spell Zilla?" So when I say praise God, I don't mean anything else. The Easter story, I believe a lot of things about the Easter story. I believe so strongly in the Easter story, I believe the last statement I made to you on Friday afternoon. Do you ever notice Jesus died over 2,000 years ago, yet nobody ever refers to him as the late Jesus? We talk about the late president, the late person, whatever, the late Jesus. He's never referred to in the past tense. Why do you think that is? He is still alive. Someone said it this way: death was proof that Jesus was human. But resurrection was proof that he was God. Amen. Say that with me. Death was proof that Jesus was human. Resurrection was proof that he was God. Yes, he was. He was God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Why do I use the word King of Kings? One of the theologians says it this way: Christ being the King of Kings means this: all kings honor him as king. All kings honor him as king. 4,000 religions around the world, but there is only one empty tomb today. He is alive. He is alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven, as Don Francisco said, and heaven's gates are open, open wide. We are alive. Are you alive? Come on, I'm talking life, and you're going, you sound religious, all of you do. You got to get, you're going to stay alive because of that. Amen. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. No, no. Feel the city breaking and everybody breaking in, staying alive. You jumped right at it, didn't you? I believe all these things. But I believe this statement more than anything. Hold your Bible in your hand. Tell me what you believe right now on this day. And I want you to make this affirmation. Put it up there for me if you would. I want to make this affirmation together. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. One more time, loud for Easter. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Be seated. And everybody said, amen. I believe these things. I believe in the God of resurrection. I believe this story. Here's what I believe in Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down upon it and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, I made that statement on Friday afternoon, that is a concept of authority. Okay, not only did he roll it back, but he sat on it. It's not going to be moved. He sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now notice this statement. I believe in the power of God. I've seen many times where you pray for someone and the power of God comes upon them. But that is an exception. It's happened to me many times, praying for somebody and to feel that. But when you read the scriptures, many times when you see this, it is dealing with somebody who's been in rebellion to God, and God is trying to get their attention. And Paul was walking down breathing threats, and he stopped like a dead man there. And God was trying to get, so he's getting their attention there. Now watch this. As the story goes on, the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." Don't you always find that funny that the scripture always, an angel pops up somewhere? Or Jesus materializes through a wall, or something happens and an angel comes to a guy named Joseph. A guy comes to another guy that telling him what the name of his baby is going to be. Don't you find it amazing that the first thing they say, don't be afraid. But what are you going to be? Afraid. Don't be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. I love this sentence, for he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Now, I notice the coming together. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and do what? Tell. What are they going to tell? The message. He has risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. And now I've told you. That's the message. So the women hurried away from the tomb. They were afraid, yet they were filled with joy. But notice, they were afraid, but they did what he said. So they might have been fearful, but they were walking and running in obedience. Does that make sense to you? They were. And sometimes we still have to walk through some things, and we're a little bit tepid about it. We're a little bit fearful about it. But he doesn't say, don't, that's not the idea. Just do what I say, do. He was the first one who said, because I said so. And they went. Verse 9. Then suddenly along the way, Jesus meets him. Jesus says, greetings. I kind of like that. You know, anything new with you girls? They came to him and they clasped his feet. That means they hit the ground, they embraced him, and they worshiped him. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Jerusalem. There they will see me. Three statements in our message today. Number one, they came, they saw, they told. I'm going to do something. I want you to pray for me because I'm moving at breakneck speed for you right now today. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to take all four Gospels and I'm going to put the story, because I find it very unusual that there are four Gospels. I always wondered about that. The perspectives are a little different. The personalities are a little bit different. Why is that? Because these four Gospels were written by men. You ladies know where I'm going with this. They leave out some details. Had a woman written this account, there'd have been just one long book, one meandering book, one book. And by the way, while let me say this about that before I say this. Or what you don't know about this, this happened before here. So we got four guys, we've got to balance the message today. And do you know what's really, really cool? It all comes together in a harmonious thing. You ever want to do a New Testament study? There's a study and there's books about the concept of, and it's actually called The Harmony of the Gospels. There's so many books about that, and that actually lay the Gospels out in lines so you can see them together. If you want a good harmony of the Gospels, ask Roy. He'll tell you what book to buy. He'll get you a good book for the harmony of the Gospels. So today, I'm going to give you a beautiful harmony of the Gospel. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to tell more of it than I read. Mark 16, the next account, Mark 16, verse 1 says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome brought spices so they might go anoint the body of Jesus. Now, it goes on to tell the story. They came at that day, and while they are going, they're saying, well, who's going to help us get the stone rolled away? This is going back and forth. And the word said that when they got there in Mark 16, it says when they looked up, they saw the stone. This is all Mark 16. You can look it up later. And there was very large, but it had been rolled away. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Again, instead of don't be afraid, Mark wrote it this way. Here's verse 6 from Mark, and here's what Mark said. Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter was singled out, that impetuous boy. Peter was singled out. He knew his personality. He kind of needed a special invitation. He said he's going to go ahead to meet you. There you will see him. Notice verse 8. The concept stays the same. Trembling and bewildered. I like those two words together. The women went out, and it didn't say they left the tomb. It said they fled from the tomb. They were, feet don't fail me now. They were moving with a message, and they were looking for somebody to tell them that. They said nothing to anyone because they were so afraid. Well, along the passageway, Jesus rose early that first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, the one of whom he had driven out seven demons. And she, notice this statement, she, after encountering Jesus at this moment, here's what she did. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Now stop right here. A lot of parts are moving right here at this concept right now. Can I just tell you, when the Lord tells us to be a witness, you don't have to go with the hammer and beat somebody's head and shake their mouths until they say they agree with you. What is your job? To do what they said. They came, they saw, they told. That was their job. But they did not believe them. I'm going to tell you why in just a few minutes. Next book, Luke 24, verse 5. That opens up, and before I read verse 5, the first part says the women took spices to prepare him, and when they went in there, the stone had been rolled away, and they were wondering what was going on, and the two men stood beside him. And in verse 5 of Luke 24, it says, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, now this statement is probably the statement of forever. This is probably the statement you need to understand in navigating this world until he comes. Because people are looking in all different directions in satisfying their senses, satisfying their appetites, and they're going the wrong way. And I think one of the most striking, I think maybe one day I will come back and I'll do a whole message on this one statement here. And I love this statement. He said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Now think of that. Why are you looking for the one who delivered the message was already in the presupposition. Don't you understand? He said he wasn't going to be here. So why would you come back here looking for life in the middle of this graveyard? Why are you doing this? And notice he makes the statement, he's not here, he's risen. Don't you remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee? And what did he tell them? Here's the man. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified. On the third day, raised again. And I really like verse 8. Here's what it says. And then they remembered. It was like, oh, then they remembered. That's what he meant. Oh, it was the epiphany moment right there. But notice this. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But notice this statement right here, verse 11. Watch this. Ready? They did not believe the women. Their words seemed like nonsense to them. You're dealing with fear. You're dealing with tradition and culture. You're dealing with the time where the woman and the word of the woman was not valued. It was discounted at every turn. Women were traded with animals in this culture. And notice, I find it really amazing that Matthew, Mark, and Luke actually make that statement. But they did not believe there. But what was going on? Jesus was in the process of making some new rules and tearing down some old boundaries. Do you understand? There are people today in our world, religious people, that want to fuss at you and fight with you on who delivers a message from God. But you see right here, Jesus was already rattling the cage of their tradition there. Verse 12, but in typical fashion, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Why? Because Peter always had to find out for himself. And bending over, he saw for himself the strips of linen laying by themselves, and he went away. Now listen to this statement. Wondering to himself what had happened. He still hadn't gotten it. The girl said, we saw him. But he was so steeped. A lot of people don't get anything from God because they live in a little world of how they think God should be, how God should act, how God should perform, or wind up, God, do your tap dance and do your thing for me. It's got to look like I'm expecting. But many times he might come to you in a fashion that might be just a little bit different. And in these stories, we learn this. The girls came, they saw, they told. By the way, I'd like to just say this. When you read all of the things of deliverance through the scriptures, you've got your Moses, you've got your Abrahams, you've got your Davids, you've got your Joshuas, and you have all of that. But there are women that God used. My friend wrote the song, Mary was the first one to carry the gospel. And here we are right here. When Jesus was there, a woman walked in and said, come see the man that told me everything I ever did. The presence of women at the cross, the presence of women at the empty tomb, they were the faithful evangelist, and they're telling us something about the nature of the new covenant kingdom. Another harmonious word in the fourth gospel. In chapter 20, before I read what I'm going to read, I'm going to tell you a little bit what happened. It tells us that Mary was outside the tomb. She was crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb. She saw the two angels seated there, and they asked, woman, why are you crying? She said, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. In verse 14, and then as she turned around, she saw Jesus standing there. She didn't know it was Jesus. She was looking at him in the face, but she didn't know it was Jesus. In fact, the word says she thought it was the gardener. She thought it was the grass guy. Why is that? I'm going to tell you why. Because grief and fear had affected her vision. Listen carefully. When you are in a terror time and grief and fear come real quick, you can't think sometimes. You can't see clearly. You can't think clearly. How many of you are at the age right now? You're at the age right now that if you're driving down the road and you're looking for a place to turn, you have to turn the radio down first. We can't compute everything. She thought she was going to see something. That the same thing happened 1 week ago when along the trail, they're expecting to see a guy coming up in a chariot with soldiers and with armor and with cannons and all kind of guns and things like that. But and they saw this one lowly one riding. I mean, he's just breaking up everything as he goes. But sometimes you get so tunnel vision. Don't get so tunnel vision in where you're going that you're not open to see what God brings in front of your eyes. We're all that way. We're that way in the natural. Linda's that way. I can be driving down the road and see her coming. I can see her coming. And I can go like this, and she just goes straight past me. And I'll call her. I said, did you see me? No. I said, I was waving like a maniac. I mean, you didn't see that? There's a lady in our neighborhood that's got a car exactly like hers. Exactly everything. And it's been on more than one occasion. I've either gone out to get the trash can or I'm in the mailbox there, and I see the car coming up, and I get all excited, and I start going like this, and that lady comes by, and I go, hey, how are you? God bless you. But she's very focused a lot of times, you know, and you know, my ADD kicks in, you know, and I'm the circus, you know what I mean? And my ADD kicks in, and she looks at me like, you know, I'm thinking of important things right now. She's tunnel vision. We're in the Dallas airport one day. We're changing planes. And here we are together. We're walking together. And we're going to our gate. And I'm here. She's here. All of a sudden, this guy comes. He's this close to me. He's this close. He comes by. And I went, hey, man, how you doing? And I said, did you see Alice Cooper? She said, no. I said, how could you miss Alice Cooper walking in an airport? Well, I'm focused. I got to get to my gate. I said, yeah, but that was Alice Cooper. I mean, he's there. Little, if I'd have known then what I know now, he's a member of the Phoenix First Baptist Church and does a mentoring program for young people. He's built a place where he teaches them music in the afternoon. He teaches them instruments. He pays the whole bill. He teaches them work. And at the end of each of their sessions, they do concerts of worship and praise music with his entire family. It's a scam. He's making money to finance what he's doing for the kingdom. He's risen indeed. So here's what happens. She turned to him. She just nods at him. But Jesus said this one word, Mary. Mary. All it took was one word. Mary. Mary. And it was the sound. How many of you guys are coming home in the afternoon and you make a phone call? And you hear one word, hello, and you know from that tone, you know for how long it's held out, you know if there's a tongue click on the end of it, you can see the eyes rolling if it's not good. You know from that one word, she knew the sound of his voice. Please, 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 don't be so busy on your way that you forget the sound of his voice. The sound of his voice. Mary, and then immediately she said, Rabbi or teacher. Jesus said, don't hold on me yet. I haven't turned myself into the pup. Verse 17, go instead to my brothers, tell them. Notice Jesus is still on message. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. Now watch this. I've seen the Lord. And she told them the things he said to her. The statement, I have seen the Lord, that is from the first Easter evangelist. The angels announced it before he has risen. But the first human that announced that and said, I've seen the Lord. When you see the Lord, that'll change everything in your life right now. You can't change the mind of an eyewitness. Later on, if you go back to Matthew 28, which gets near the end of his book there, the women go on their way, and they're doing that. But the word is starting to spread, so I'm telling you the stories to bring them all together right now. So what happens is the guards go back, and they tell and it goes back to the priest and the elders there, and they know they're going to get in trouble. So the word actually says in the 28th chapter of Matthew, and it's verse 11, and it says they devised a plan with a large sum of money, all right? They devised a plan with a large bit of money. And he said, here's what you are to say to them. Here's their speech. They're getting their story together. Tell us to say his disciples came during the night. They stole him away while we were asleep. He said, and if this report gets to the governor, it will satisfy him and it'll get all of us out of trouble. So verse 15 says the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed to do. There's a line here that I've never seen before. And it's the B part. It's the B part of this message. And the story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Stop here for just a minute. The timeline has not changed even in 2024. There are people around the world today that do not believe in this day because they believe he was stolen. They believe it was a trick. They believe it never happened. They believe he actually never died. There are theologians that teach the swoon doctrine, that he just swooned and he got so low and his blood pressure dropped so low that he really was not dead. So I honor the fact that it's true today. I'm standing in front of you right now to say this is why we've got a problem today. It is still being widely circulated to this very day. We put on our Facebook a week ago, there's a lot of shenanigans going after social media of Christian people. We put just the simple graphics of the Good Friday and Sunday. We pushed the button that it would be seen by people who like our page, that's all. And hundreds of people saw it, didn't recognize one soul. And all of a sudden, the evil that was poured out against us, picture that somebody altered of Jesus on the cross. So you're going to go celebrate your guy hanging on a stick, huh? over and over. The lie is still being propagated today. This explains why the world is the way it is today. Even today. After witnessing this miraculous, truth doesn't matter. It's the same today. Truth does not matter today. The guards were asleep. So how did they know that? They had to lie and they let them get away with the lie. Are we seeing that in the world today? So back to Matthew 28 near the end. I like this part that says this. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. The Message Bible says it this way. The moment they saw him, they worshiped. All bets were off. All questions were. And I say to you this morning, if you hear this morning, every one of us need a Savior. If you will believe, if you will respond, if you will turn to Jesus, the Spirit of resurrection, if you will turn to the encounter of resurrection, resurrection will change you. How does it change you? It changes you in the heart first. It then changes your direction of now, and it will change your destination of the days to come. You say, well, I don't know about this. Don't be afraid. It's not just a story. It's not just a tradition. We tell it because we need to keep being reminded about it, but it is a very alive covenant word. We need Jesus, the living Jesus in our heart, not the Jesus of religion on a wall somewhere. And we bow before him, the King of Kings, the King who all the other kings will bow to, the word says. He's promised, I will be with you to the very end of the age. So don't be afraid. He promised that. I will be with you to the very end of the age. By the way, notice in every encounter that when they saw Jesus, whether it was the girls or finally when the guys saw him, when they saw him, what did they do? They worshiped first, and then he spoke to them. Got it? They worshiped, and then he explained to them. Today, I want you to remember he'll be with you even to the end of the age. The resurrection conversion demands a transformation in our lives. This isn't a one-way street. Resurrection will demand a transformation in your life. God demands something in return, our lives, our hearts. The question is, what will I do with this message today? Will I let it transform me, or will I look at it and pat it from a distance and say, see you next year, like a family Bible that we have to blow the dust off sitting on the coffee table? He's expecting. You ever had somebody say to you, oh, I'm so sorry, but yet you know they're not sorry. You know how I know? Because I've said it. You say, I'm sorry, I just want to get out of trouble. You did that in school. I tell them I'm sorry. Now, you didn't mean that. But when we come to him, he knows our heart. There must be a change. Love needs action. Truth needs proof. I'm telling you the truth. Well, let me see. Prove it to me. Well, I don't mean to. Well, let's just see. If you don't do it again, I know you're telling me the truth. Sorry is not enough. Sorry demands change. And when we come to him, Lord, be merciful to me, we don't just put him on like a new trick, a new add to our lives. We let resurrection come alive in our hearts today. So as you leave this morning, let us be like the wonderful first evangelist, the ones who came, the ones who saw, the ones who told. So what about me? So when you leave this morning, I'm asking you, we will say, we came, we saw, now we tell. Tell it all, y'all. Tell it all, y'all. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter.